you know what? I think I'm going to put other things in front of God this week. It's not a conscientious decision, but it is a decision, watch this, through a non-conscientiousness of leaving God up on top. Let me tell you what. If you're going to put God first place, it's got to be deliberate. It's got to be a daily commitment, because there's all these things that are vying for your interest, for your concern, for your attention. And in the course of life, you know what? You don't consciously say, I just don't have time for God. I'm going to put him, he's not, and listen to me, moms, it's not like God's not on the top 10. For most of your mothers, God never leaves the top 10. For some of you, he never leaves the top 5. For many of you, he never leaves the top 3. But let me tell you, moms, God doesn't want to be number 2 or number 3. He wants to be number 1. And to make him number 1, you've got to make a decision that I'm going to put him first place and I'm going to keep him first place. And because life is life and everything is vying for your time, you've got to make a conscious decision that that's what you're going to do. Amen. How many of you recognize sometimes, and I'm just, you know, how many been in this church long enough to know that I'm just going to tell you the truth? I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to get you upset. The Bible says the truth that you know will set you free. That's why I tell you the truth. How many ever been fooled to think, you know what, all right, I'll use this example because you've heard this one before, but I'm getting in the shower, my wife's in the bathroom, she sees some gray hairs growing back here, and she says, oh wait, let me, while you're, you know what, in the, right there with the water and stuff, let me just get, you have some gray hairs and it doesn't look very good, let me get that. And I tell my wife, what do I tell my wife? There ain't no gray hair back there. No, did I say that? And I was serious, was I not? And what did you say? She said, and what did I say? I said, no, there's not. She's looking at them. My point is, we can be deceived sometimes. So, moms, I'm going to give you two things. These are not easy things, but I'm letting you know. Look and see if you're spending all your money on you and your family, God is not first place in your life. Yeah, I'm quiet in the house, right? I didn't think you were going to, like, give me a way to, hey, how do you know how much you weigh if you don't get on the scale? Come on, so don't shout me down with that. I'm preaching good. You know what? I got on the scale the other, you know, like 6 weeks ago. I'm like, yeah. Tamara, this scale's broken, man. Who broke the scale? Who broke it? Tired of, you know, get us new. I'm tired of having broken scales. And by the way, the one in the garage is broken too. Right? All I'm saying is, the Bible says where your treasures are, your heart's going to be also. So I'm just trying to be real with you moms, but you know what? Because we can start to say, because what's the, you know, we don't say this. We just kind of fall back on, you know what, on the, what's the default? Oh, I love God. I serve him. He's first. Because we know he's first. We even put our finger out. No, he is first. Like that's gonna go, oh, I guess I am, because you got your finger up. Right? Come on, somebody, you know what I'm saying? So that's number one. I'm just giving you a way to judge this. Number two, look at where your time is spent. Look at where your time is spent. Spending time and time and time and time and time And it's particularly, ladies, I love you. I didn't mean to be so brutal today, amen, but I only got so much time, you know what I mean? So let's just get it out there, okay? Okay, no, really, we only have so much time. I can't afford to just tiptoe through the tulips for 45 minutes and then you walk away with nothing. But here's the thing. Most of, if you're off, if God has slipped down to 4, 5, 6, maybe he's even 8 or 9, I tell you, likely, you know who number one is? Your kids. Can I show it to you in the text? He who loves father or mother more, oh, this happens too with your mom. Some of you are such good, you know what, you treat your parents right, you honor them, which that is really, really important. Don't get me wrong. But you can't love your parents more than God. But look what it says now. And how many know Jesus isn't like, what should I say? I'm not sure what I should say here. No, how many know Jesus knows exactly what to say? And he's using his words because here's what he knows. He knows what are the predominant things that are going to get in the way of him being first. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You see how offended God is that we put him second or third or fourth? It's not a little deal. Okay, but watch this. And he who loves, here, ladies, moms, he who loves what? Come on, help me preach this, ladies. Who love was what? Son or daughter. Okay, Jesus knows what is predominantly going to knock him out of first place are your kids. Well, I thought you're honoring me for being a mother. I am. But you have to remember, you know what? You have to remember, if you are going to be a good mom, you first have to put God first. And according to Jesus, God can't be ahead of even your kids. I cannot tell you, you know what, how many families just get off and off and off and off, and they do it by this starting to just put their kids in front of God, and the next thing, God's second, next thing you know, he's third, next thing you know, he's fourth, next thing you know, they're just far, far, far from God. Number one, you've got to put God first place, moms. Number two. Oh, this is... Come on, put it up on the screen so I can give them some time to read it first. And then... Wait. Let me do a writer. The writer's my dog, my husky dog. Huh? No. That's what it is. Put your husband above your kids. Put your husband above your kids. 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says this. ladies, do me a favor. Don't judge this point till I'm done with this point, okay? Because if you judge this point before I'm done with the point, the walls go up and you don't hear anything I say. Is that fair? Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but at least keep an open mind to hear what I'm saying. If you're a mom, shake your head like this if you'll just give me 3 minutes to preach this, okay? All right. The reason why this is so important, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says this, let all things be done decently and in order. Everyone say order.
Order.
Now, in the family, the father's position is a very, very important position. It doesn't mean that the kid's position is not an important position. I didn't say, you know what? I didn't say to neglect your kids. You know, at Hope, kids and youth are not secondary, they're primary. Having said that, that doesn't mean that the adults aren't primary. How many know you can have a lot of things that are primary? So I'm not saying exalt your husband, you know what, above everything and to neglect the kids. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is many times in families, the wife is, before they have kids, honors the husband and honors the husband and honors the husband. It's very, very healthy. You know what? As wives, you're told in the Bible to honor your husbands. And so it's very, very healthy. But in the course of time, especially after the kids come, and one kid, how many know, you know what, many times you don't just have one kid. Then you have another kid. Then you have another kid. Then you, come on, rock and roll. We're on a roll now. You know what I mean? So how many times, and you could have another kid and whatever. And in the course of time, the honor for the husband starts to go lower and lower and lower and lower. I say, but pastor, man, I mean, are you kidding me? By the time my husband comes home, I'm just like, oh, like, Hello, ladies, how many can relate to what I'm saying? Okay, well, figure it out. Okay? You know that song? You know what? Treat her like, got to treat her like. How many know this song? Treat her like a lady, got to treat her like. How many know that? How many know that song? Ladies, do you know that song? Okay, just change the words, okay? Okay? Treat him like your husband. That's your husband. You married him. And I know you thought he was a Prince Charming, and I know you recognized he don't look like no Prince Charming no more. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Come on. But, so what? Amen? So what? Somebody said, man, no. Somebody said, so one father said, no. I still have a six pack. Amen. I still have a six pack. I just got just some honey buns covering the six pack. That's all I got. Right? Okay. So, but what I'm saying is, listen to me, ladies. You've got kids, and they are now above your husband in your priority, and it's not in order, okay? And what I'm saying is you've got little girls and little boys that are watching this, and you are going to propel how you treat your husband to your kids. So what you're doing, listen, ladies, let everything be done in decency and order. You are the example to your kids. That as busy as you are, you know, and that's just a smokescreen anyway. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, that's just a smokescreen anyway. Listen, your husband's pretty simple. Amen? I didn't say your husband's stupid. I said he's simple. Man, I saw what you were thinking. How dare you? Don't come on, you're in church. Your husband's pretty simple. You know what? And your husband, when I say that, the truth is, most men, they don't need a lot of time. You know, you go up to him when he gets home, and you hug him. You notice when he comes through the door. You give him you don't peck him on the cheek. And just give him a crazy French kiss. Amen? Come on. I'm telling you what. He might drive a little faster on the way home. Come on, somebody. Right? Right? My wife, yesterday, or this morning, 4:00 in the morning. So she gets up. And you know what? The dogs are yakking, so she wants to open up the door to let them out. And I'm kind of, you know what, waiting for her to come to bed, and she's not coming to bed. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get up and see if she's okay. I don't know what's going on, you know what I mean? So I get up, and my wife at 4:00 in the morning, I text her yesterday, and she makes me this, what is in that thing? A what? Hemp heart cereal. I don't know. It's so good for you. You know what I mean? Not like, you know, whom, you know, I like Frosted Flakes. Yeah, I do too, bud. Anyway, she makes me this hemp heart cereal. It's so good, and it's just so good for you. 4 o'clock in the morning, she's making me that for me. You know what I mean? See? It really, ladies, stop. No. Get things prioritized. You know what? Put God first. You know what? And then recognize how important your husband is, and put him first in, as far as the order with your family. Okay, I'm not saying the kids aren't important, but what happens is when you're always over a period of time, it's harmful to your marriage. When you're always your go-to is the kids, and your husband is a cool head because he's a man. He just has been trained to just take his feelings and just shove it in a box. And that's how it is. But listen to me, ladies. I'm telling you the truth. There's not a husband in the house that isn't saying, "Oh, Pastor, that's a good point. That second point is good." I'm serious. And they'll be casual about it. They'll be, "Oh yeah, that was I thought it was good." You know, because that's how they are. But inside they're like, "You know what? Give me a P. P, I got your P. I got your P. You know what? You know, give me an A. A, I got your A. I got your A. Give me an S. S, you get this, you know what? Pastor, preach it, Pastor." Right? That's really what's going inside of them. Okay? Right? I'm just telling you the truth. Real quick. Number three, forgive everyone. Pastor, what is your problem? You're just like, man, is this... Listen, you're going to get a good sermon today, ladies. Forgive everyone, especially your husband. What? Why'd you put... Okay, first of all, the Bible says... Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, 15, we have it on the screens. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you." Watch this. This is so heavy. This is, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." I don't know what you do with that theologically, but here's what I know. I know that Jesus knows good theology. And if he said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, that your Father won't forgive you. Here's what that means. Then if you don't do that, you will not be forgiven. So put that in your purse. You know, this really applies now. Put that in your purse and swing it. Amen? No, forgive everyone. That crazy, you know what, boss at work, that lady that just drives you nuts. I'm talking about big hurts, little hurts, all hurt. You know what? Hurts are hurts, and here's the reality. When you keep that hurt, it just hurts you. Get rid of it. God forgave you. You forgive them. And all of a sudden, and listen, let me tell you what. It's a lot easier than, no, it's a lot simpler than you really think. The problem is, I don't know who I'm preaching to. The problem is you have not listened to the truth. You've listened to all, "Well, yeah, but they hurt you. Yeah, but they hurt you. Yeah, but it hurt. Oh, that." And then you replay that over and over and over again. And you are just like, "No, I can't ever." You know what? You've convinced yourself you can't release it. Listen, you could release that pain today if you wanted to. It's a stronghold. But you, over your words and your thoughts and your words and your thoughts, and then you listen to your goofball friends on the phone who tell you the same thing. You can't forgive. You can't forgive. You can't. You don't understand what they did to me. "Oh, they did. I'll tell you. I'd kick them out, man. You don't have to take that." And all this stuff over and over again, and it just weighs on you. And that thing has happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 months ago, even 10 days ago. Get rid of it. Why'd you keep it 4 days, 5 days, 9 days? Why'd you keep it 9 days? Remember when Moses was dealing with the Pharaoh and they had the plague of the frogs, and he goes to the Pharaoh and he says, "Okay," you know, he's like, "Okay, I'll let your people go." And Pharaoh says, "Okay, when do you want to get rid of the frogs?" And Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." Are you, what? Some of you have a mess in your life, and the mess in your life is what somebody did to you, which isn't the big mess in life. The mess in your life is that you haven't forgiven them for what they did to you. That's the mess. I mean, hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, but you said in your notes, forgive everyone, exclamation point, especially your husband. Well, man, why you say especially your husband? Here's why. Because, listen, if you were around somebody else as much as you were their husband, they would probably hurt you as much as your husband has hurt you. Listen, I have had conversations with my wife, you know what, in years and years and years of being married to Tamara. You know what, we have really only been in 3 fights in all the years of our marriage. Do you see my nose getting? Man, you guys are gullible. You guys are good. No, 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 no. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. You know what? But when we've been in fights, this is a true story. I remember sometimes thinking, I know what to say. And I'll say this. And when I say this, she's going to look at me with this fondness. She's going to kind of tilt her head. She's going to open up her arms. She's going to come to me. She's going to give me one of those French kisses I was telling you about earlier. Oh, this is, oh, thank you. Boom. And I'll say that, and none of that happens. Here's what she has said. I can't believe you just said it. You just made it 3 times worse. I'm not joking. This really happens. I'm thinking, how did I make it worse? I'm thinking, why don't you just shut up? That would be smart. My point is, listen, many times we're not trying to be offensive. We just are offensive. Some of you husbands are like, I don't know if that sermon was a very good sermon today, Pastor. But man, you know, or shake your head like this, man, if you know what I'm talking about. You're not trying, but you just do it. Okay. But ladies, let me tell you this. Here's the reality: is if you hang out more with your husband than anybody else. So that's why you especially have to forgive him. How many times? And don't be like Peter. What was Peter? Peter was self-righteous. He said, you know what? Jesus, how often do I have to forgive? 7 times? The Jewish culture said that you need to forgive somebody 3 times. And at 3 times, that's enough. That's enough. You don't, they have slipped over to the, no, you don't have to forgive them anymore. So Peter, in thinking that he's, you know, Peter thinks Jesus is going to pat him on the back and say, wow, Peter, that was awesome. 7 times? Ooh, you got it, man. But he doesn't. He says, Peter, you know what? 7 times 70. And how many know God isn't asking Peter to get his calculator out? God is asking Peter, do me a favor, stop counting. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I'm reading out of the NIV, says this. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Listen to this, moms. It keeps no record of wrongs. Except for your husband, because he's such a dork. See, it just doesn't say that. See, you're adding to the scripture, and that is so wrong. No, just forgive them. Stop keeping record of wrongs, because here's what happens. How many know you keep record of this wrong? It's like weight. If every time you're picking something up, then you're adding something to that, then you're adding something to that, then you're adding something to that, then your husband just does something dorky. You look at him and it's like, oh my goodness. Well, men, listen. I'll talk to you on Father's Day. Okay, come back for Father's Day. I just recognize I don't have time enough to. Okay, so I'll talk to you on Father's Day. But ladies, then he does something that is marginally really not a big deal. But that 3 extra pounds on top of the, you know what, 4,086 pounds that you have held over the last however many years you've been married to your husband, I'm telling you what, it just will snap you. And here's the ridiculousness. You're called by God to not have 10 pounds worth of withholding your forgiveness. Let it go. Yeah, but what if he does it tomorrow? Let it go. What if he offends me tomorrow? Let it go. Listen, let it go. Here's what I want to let you know, ladies. When it's Father's Day, I'm going to tell the same thing to him. See, remember this thing? This is not just for mothers. Guys, you better let everything go. Can't hold grudges. That's not Christian. That's so ungodly. And it's so unhealthy for you. You know, so many people in the hospital, they're up in the hospital, you know what? I mean, if they would listen, they don't need a pill. They need to repent of sin. Unforgiveness is sin, and it will kill you. Your doctors don't know because they're, for the most part, because they're not tied into the spiritual. They do know. They know. Here's what they know, and they know it because they see it. They'll call it worry, but they don't understand. Worry is a sin because worry is not trusting in God. So they don't understand the spiritual because they don't. They're not trained that way. I'm not saying they're bad. Some of them are wonderful Christian men and women that do understand it, but for the most part, many of them don't. And so they just call it worry, but they know most of their patients would be way better off if they would let it go. They know that. Amen? If I was in charge of the hospital, I'd have that song playing on just a loop. You know what? Let it go. Let it go. Real quick, forgiveness is giving up your right to get even. Guys, put it up here on the screen. I'm going to have 4 of them, but I want you to write them down. Do you have it? Giving up is, forgiveness is giving up your right to get even. B, choosing to stop feeding the anger and resentment towards the person who hurt you. You got to choose that. That's a choice. You have to be intentional. But letting out your heart in a positive way. Number 3, letting all judgments towards that person who hurt you be handled by God. You know what? That is not your job to bring judgment upon him. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. D, these are good, are they not? D, actively get to a place where you can say to that person who harmed you, I call you blessed and I mean it. I call you blessed and I mean it. Quickly, just 2 more. Number 4, spend time enjoying cake and some coffee. Ladies, spend some time enjoying cake. Cake and coffee, I got these kids jumping all around and they, Okay, so dads, you know what? Yeah, but I work all day. Okay, well, she works all day and then when you get home, then she works all night. Right? She's doing all the, I mean, you know what? Until the kids go to bed, she is just on. She doesn't work 8 hours, she works 16 hours. So when you get home working your cakewalk I'm not saying you don't work hard. And some of you work over that. I understand. But figure it out, men, fathers, minister to your wives. They minister to you all the time. Minister to them. You know what? on a Saturday.
Yeah, but I golf on Saturday. Yeah, but that's my day to relax.
Hey, what about her day to relax? How about you say, hey, honey, I'm going to take care of the kids. You know what I mean? You go with the girls and get some, go whatever. Get some brownies. Get an Oreo cake. Get some waffles with the strawberries on it. You know what I mean? Have a latte, amen, or something. Just go and relax. Mothers, listen to me. Listen to me. You need to enjoy life. And your kids are a blessing, but they can drive you crazy. Which how well can you minister to your kids and family if you're nuts? Okay. Just we're going to edit that out, okay? Well, edit that out. But is that not true? You know what I mean? Something happens, you just, it's like, and the kids is just like, that's not the memory. We don't want to identify with that. We don't want to model that for our kids, right? Man, my mom was a screamer. She screamed over everything. Well, of course, she never had some coffee and cake on Saturday. Right? Is this a good point? Yes, come on, shake your head if this is a good point. This is a great point. Amen. And last but not least, thank God for everything. Ladies, you want to know what the will of God is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. The will of God for you is to stop looking at the glass half empty. The glass could be, people who look at the glass half empty, you know what the truth is? They look at it half empty no matter how empty it is. See, we say that, we always think they look at it half empty because it's half empty, half full. It don't make any difference. It could be 90% full, but somebody who's used to looking at it half empty, they'll look at it, it's 90% full, and they'll look at it, man, that thing's half empty. Why? Because your mind is so powerful, and anybody else will look at your life and go, man, yeah, they have some issues, but they've got a great life. But you've been trained to look at it that way. It's a habit. It's a rut. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. I saw a golf putt the other day. This guy putts the ball, and the ball goes right near the hole. How many, did you ever see this? Connie, did you see this? Okay, right, was it right near the hole? It was right near the hole. And what did he do? Do you remember what he did? What he did is he just went around like this and looked at it. And then his caddy looked at it. What are they looking for? It's not in the hole. Somebody say gravity. Because what he knows is eventually that ball is going to be pulled into that hole. Did you see this? It was so cool. And sure enough, he waited. And sure enough, that gravity just pulled it right into the hole. I said, Pastor, why are you teaching me golf right now? It's Mother's Day. No, this ain't about golf. This is about a point. Listen, here's the point. Some of you ladies, you're so used to looking at things in a negative kind of tone that even though things aren't that bad, your gravity is going to pull it down. And you're pulling things down, and you're pulling your family down, and you're pulling your kids down, and you're pulling things down. And this last point is the last point on purpose. But you've got to understand, the will for your life is that you be grateful and be thankful. And so and I don't care how difficult your life is. How many know all of us have some good things happening in our life? So what? Meditate on those things. Watch what'll happen. You know what is a key to walking in the fullness of God? Here, this is extra. This is PS. You ready? You know what a key to walking in the fullness of God? Change your bad attitude and start to be grateful for what you have. Amen? Amen? Amen. Pastor Bradford, who would drive beautiful cars, they were always meticulously clean. He taught us this. He said, you know what? You might not be able to afford, you know what, a really, really nice car, but take care of the car that you have and watch what God will be able to do with it. If you start to be a good steward over what God has given you, and part of being a good steward is for you to be grateful for what you have instead of complaining about what you don't have. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Okay. How many learned something today? Okay. How many feel kind of beat up in a good way? Raise your hand if you ever. Pastor, you slapped me around good today. Right? Right? But hey, don't you appreciate? You don't want being, and here's the crazy thing. When the Holy Spirit does this, how many know it can encourage us, even though it's you know, our flesh goes, but our spirit, who's who you really are, says, man, he's right. And you know what it is? It's hopeful. It's hopeful. It's thinking, man, I can change. My life can be better. I can live a good life. And it's all there for us. You know, when we first got here, we used to teach, you know what, this, because the society doesn't say this. Don't get your keys yet. Society doesn't say this. Society doesn't say, it's your fault. Society doesn't say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I saw an article the other day of things that are not okay to say anymore at college campuses. You know what one of them was? You can't say, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Why? Because that's not what society wants you to say. Society wants you to learn that you are a victim. And I like what Joyce Meyer say, figure it out. You're either a victim or a victor, but you can't do both. I'm not saying you didn't have a hard life. I'm not saying your parents, for many of us, for some of us, but for many people here today, you know what? The models of their mom were like, my mom was nuts, right? And it wasn't good. We laugh, but it really wasn't a good thing. I'm empathetic to that. I understand that. But at some point, you got to recognize the past is the past. We've got to take responsibility for what we have now. God has given us his word. You know what? We can apply his word, and our days in front of us can be better than our days behind us. But you can't continue to blame other people for everything, because if you do, you'll never move forward. You'll never move forward. You'll always be a victim. And there's plenty of that going on. If you want to, you know what, go that route, I encourage you not to do it, because it is a way that leads to destruction. Because you can get all the money, all the stuff, and you'll still be a victim in your heart. So, if something was said, minister to you. I don't know. There's certainly a lot in here that you can pick from. But you say, moms or not moms, anybody here, something that was said that you say, Pastor, God ministered to me today, and I want to make that conscious change to fix that. I don't know what that is. But if that's you, I don't want you to leave here that you don't raise your hand and allow me to pray with you and confess and say, no, that's me. And you don't need to be ashamed. I've got my hand up, okay? And I'm the pastor. I got my hand up, okay? If that's you, but there's something very healthy about leaving here having me prayed for you and you recognizing, That sermon was for me, Pastor. If that's you, raise your hand. Father, you see the hands that are up. Father, you see the conviction in people's hearts. We're here not to just listen, but we're here to listen that we might change. Help us this week to not just hear this, but to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And as my commitment is, we never like to end a Sunday service. We don't give people an opportunity to become a Christian, to accept Jesus in their own heart. If that's you, and maybe you're watching from home, maybe you're watching on the internet, maybe you're watching this maybe you're going to watch it Tuesday. You're not even watching, but God sees it all. Just because it's not live doesn't mean you can't say this prayer with me. Would you repeat this prayer after me? It's a simple prayer, but we believe that God is knocking on your heart. And if you'll open up the door and ask him inside, he'll come in your heart. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I need to change all that stuff. No, no, you don't. You're here. God's speaking to you. Let him in your heart and let him help you, change you from the inside out. If you want to become a Christian today, today's your day. Don't procrastinate it. Don't let it go for tomorrow. Don't let, I just got to get out of this place and then I'll be safe. No, no, no. This is God. Let me tell you what, somebody, I don't know who needs to hear this. God is not pretend. God is real. And at some point, you're going to absolutely know it. But now is the day that you should accept him in your heart. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Just repeat this after me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to become a Christian today. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. You are my Savior and you are my Lord from now on, forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.